Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
You recall that in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, Solomon is talking about the deceitfulness of riches. And as we get into verses 3, 4, 5, and 6, where we started into that section yesterday, we find that Solomon makes a very shocking comparison. It is almost jarring, but he wants us to understand the seriousness of this problem. It's one of those areas that I can tell you about that a lot of people just tend to ignore, just to pay no attention to just toss it over your shoulder. When I tell you that riches in themselves do not bring happiness, contentment, or fulfillment. In fact, they actually will tend to destroy those qualities, happiness, contentment, fulfillment in life, rather than enhance them, unless they are handled very carefully in a very godly manner. And the only way that can happen is if the person really is putting God first and is developing godly character, and from that vantage point is utilizing the blessings of wealth in the way that God intends for them to be used. And from that position, they can bring some measure of happiness and fulfillment and contentment in life. It's only a secondary measure, because the greatest measure of contentment and fulfillment must always come in our relationship with God Himself. And that relationship doesn't depend upon material things. A poor man can have just as satisfying a relationship with God as a rich man. Riches allow no advantage there, but they actually create a disadvantage. Jesus said how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. So riches, far from enhancing contentment in life, actually present a barrier which is going to have to be overcome. Can it be overcome? Yes, it can. But it requires a right relationship with God and the formation of godly character in the use of these material possessions. So that's what Solomon is teaching us, and we'll continue down that track on this Friday, October 2. We're glad you were able to join us, and we thank God for those whose financial gifts help us maintain the Beacon Broadcast on this station. Excuse me for having to sneeze there. Now, what is the comparison that Solomon makes? In verse 3, he goes back over another way of talking about the folly of thinking that things is going to produce fulfillment in life. He talks about abundant life with content, with discontent, rather, and how it produces no satisfaction. Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4? He said, I've learned how to abound. That means to receive and benefit from wealth. We don't know how abounding was the abounding that Paul talked about there, but he called it abounding. So we can't get into exact dollar amounts. They wouldn't have meant anything in Paul's day, and they change over the years anyway. But he said, I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to live with a great abundance, wealth. And I've learned how to be abased. That's speaking about poverty. I've learned how to live in a situation where I have very little of this world's goods. He said, I've been in both situations. And he said, I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. That's the key. Contentment. Godliness, he tells us in another place, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That is wealth, whether there are any material abundances to go with that or not. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Not very many people attain unto that kind of wealth, because most people are chasing that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, thinking that that's going to bring them happiness and satisfaction, and it will not, it will not, it will not. That's what the Bible is telling us. And Solomon is talking here about the deceitfulness of riches. The only way to be able to truly enjoy riches, should you have them, if God bestows them, is if Christ comes first in your life and you are forming godly Christ-like character by the process of sanctification, the process of the fruit of the Spirit being developed in your life, and from that vantage point, handling that abundance in a way that honors God. And that will bring a great measure of satisfaction, but the satisfaction is not primarily in the things, it's in the giver. Not the gift, but the giver. Now, to make that point, back to Ecclesiastes 6:3, if a man begets 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness, I say that a stillborn child is better than he. Now, we come to this shocking comparison. He compares the person with wealth but discontent with a miscarried child. That is shocking. But that's what he says. A stillborn child is better than he, for it comes in vanity and departs in darkness, and its name is covered with darkness. He's talking about the stillborn child. Though it has not seen the sun or known anything, this has more rest than that man, even if he lives 1,000 years twice, but has not seen goodness. Do not all go to one place? All right, let's work through this. Superabundant life with discontent. First of all, he described the man who has 100 children. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but that would be a token of great blessing in that Old Testament era. Many, many children and wealth. Now he goes on in verse 6 to talk about someone who lives 2,000 years, 1,000 years twice. Again, obviously, exaggeration, hyperbole is the exact term. But he's talking about unimaginable abundance of every kind. And an incredibly long life with incredible measure of earthly blessings, but as he describes it here, he has not seen goodness. What does that mean? He does not enjoy the good things that God has given to him. They're all around him, but he can't really see them in a proper light. His discontent renders satisfaction impossible. He does not have the ability to enjoy the abundance which God has given. And Solomon says that person has no advantage over the stillborn child. Shocking. But that's what he says. He has no advantage over the stillborn child. Do not all go to one place, is the way he concludes this section. Verse 6, even if he lives 1,000 years twice, but has not seen goodness, do not all go to one place? That is, the stillborn child, where does he go? He never sees the light of day. He dies before he's born. So when he comes out into the world, he's already dead. He doesn't see the light of day. He doesn't see anything in life. He doesn't enjoy anything in life. He goes straight from the womb to the tomb. He is born dead, stillborn, and so he goes immediately to the grave. He's buried. But what about this man who has superabundance and no ability to enjoy it? He's discontent with all of this. Where does he end up? He ends up in the same place, the grave. Do not all go into one place, namely the grave. He dies without achieving earthly satisfaction. And in that regard, he's no different from the stillborn child, because what is true of one is true of the other. The stillborn child enjoys nothing in this life because he dies before he lives. He dies before he's born. So what does he enjoy of life? Nothing. He is born and is buried. Now here's a man who lives an incredibly long life and has a superabundance of possessions all throughout his life and has an abundance of children and all of the things that are elements of blessing and satisfaction and joy in life to most people. But to this man, he has no ability to enjoy any of them. He's dissatisfied. He's discontent continually, day after day. Nothing is enough. Nothing satisfies. Nothing brings happiness. Nothing makes him content. He's a miserable person all the days of his life. He lives a long life with a life filled with abundance, far, 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 far more than most people would ever achieve, far more than most people could ever even dream of, and he doesn't enjoy it at all. It all makes him miserable, and so he dies and goes to the grave without enjoying life. And so, in a real respect, his life is no better than the stillborn child. Again, that's shocking. That's shocking to make such a comparison of this man of great wealth and abundance and earthly blessings, both material and temporal, family blessings and so forth. And to compare that person with a miscarried child is shocking, but hopefully shocking enough to make us sit up and pay attention and take this seriously and listen to what Solomon is saying. Wealth will not bring satisfaction. Abundance of material possessions will not bring satisfaction. Life will not be richer for your being rich. Life will not be richer because of the abundance of things that you possess. Isn't that what Jesus said in the parable of the rich fool? He said, life does not consist in the abundance of things which you possess. It does not. That's the deception. We think it does, but the Bible tells us it does not. If you ignore the wisdom of the Bible and insist upon believing what the Bible says is not true, then you are a fool. And you will learn to your sorrow that the Bible is true. And your life, in the end, will be no better than that of a miscarried child. Until tomorrow, or rather next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.